Welcome to the Volatile Vet Radio Show, where finance meets fortitude, and the stock market isn't the only thing with battle scars. At Abshire Family Financial, we are vets in more ways than one, here to help you navigate the world of wealth, investments, and financial independence with the precision of a sniper and the patience of a drill sergeant on his first cup of coffee. We don't just talk strategy, we equip you with real knowledge designed to bring about success, which is why we give you real-world rubber-meets-the-road examples every week as part of our retirement mission. We want you to happily retire, and RETIRE is an acronym that stands for retirement, estate, taxes, income, risk, and enjoyment. To accomplish all those areas, you need a plan that's not just about surviving, but built to last. So whether you're dodging market downturns, wrestling with retirement plans, or just trying to make sense of why your money disappears faster than your willpower in a donut shop, stick around. We're going to cut through the noise, drop some knowledge, and maybe have a little fun along the way. So ladies and gentlemen, lock and load, because financial freedom is the mission. And here on The Volatile Vet, we always adapt and overcome. Eight truths that Wall Street won't tell you. Welcome to The Volatile Vet, everyone. We got a packed show for you today. We're going to go through the eight different truths that Wall Street doesn't want you to know or won't tell you about your retirement. And Wall Street can be very helpful at helping you build or accumulate wealth, but retirement requires a completely different skill set. And that's where a lot of people can get into trouble, because Wall Street is not built, and by that we mean the traditional stock, bond, mutual funds, ETFs kind of model, is not built for retirement when you need to start living on your money. You know, like you've kind of been planning on doing for decades, diligently saving toward that. Wall Street will often show you average returns, growth charts, and Monte Carlo projections all day long, but they rarely talk about what happens if, say, the first 3 years of your retirement go really badly. That retirement red zone we often discuss, what taxes will do to your withdrawals. The collateral damage that withdrawals can cause, and often do, in other parts of your retirement. What volatility does to the longevity of your money when you start living on it or taking income. What happens when one spouse passes away. Or what bonds actually do in a rising rate or higher rate world, or simply uncertain markets. That might sound like something we're in today. So today we're talking about the eight truths that Wall Street won't tell you about your retirement. If you'd like to visit with us at Abshire Family Financial, we'd like to introduce you to a Compass Report. This is a deep dive into where you're headed right now with reasonable assumptions. We call that your current path, and where you could be headed with some common sense revisions, more tax efficiency, better risk management, and the differences between the current path and that revised, more holistic path are often stark to your benefit. 775-899-2243, 775-899-2243. Also, go ahead and visit us at volatilevet.com. You can set up your own visit right there. You can read a little bit more about Jesse and the entire team at Abshire Family Financial, about the Compass Report, what it entails, and of course also, you can find our calendar, match it up with yours, and set up your own visit. Now, an additional kind of a bonus we'll do for those who would like to set up a visit today, we're going to give you a wonderful book called Hidden Potential. And it's appropriate because today we're going to talk about some hidden risks, but there's also a lot of hidden potential inside of portfolios and inside of your situation that a lot of people don't realize. That is something that the Compass Report is very well known for bringing out, for showing you, hey, did you realize that this and this and this exist in your picture? And here's, by the way, how we capitalize on that. That is a big part of the Compass Report. And we'd love to share a copy of the book Hidden Potential by Adam Grant with you. Again, the phone number is 775-899-2243.
That's kind of our bonus gift when you set up your complimentary visit with us today. Okay, here we go. Truth number one that Wall Street won't really tell you about regarding your retirement, the average return illusion. Look, guys, you don't live on averages. Retirement isn't built on averages. It's built on the sequence of your actual returns year by year and cash flow. If I tell you that the average depth of a river is 3 feet, would you send your 5-foot-tall child across it? The average doesn't tell you where the 12-foot drop is. So let me look at it with you this way in a quick little story. If we have two retirees that both average 7% over a 10-year period, okay, with me, their average return is going to be 7% over a 10-year period. One retiree retires into a bull market. The other one retires at the start of a downturn. While the average return in our example is the same for both of them, the outcomes are wildly different. So let's say, for example, in year one, we have a negative 20% year. 2022 should shoot right into your mind. And not only is it negative, but you need $40,000 on top of everything else, the Social Security, that kind of thing. So you withdraw $40,000. All right. Well, let's say we started with $1 million. We're down 20%. That brings us to $800,000. We withdraw $40,000. That brings us now down to $760,000. We have to make 31.6% return just to get back to even, just to get back to where we were. Not even trying to make a new gain or a new high. No, just recover from the loss and have the withdrawal of $40,000 not affect us or not take away from our nest egg. When is that 31.6% going to happen? Let me tell you something. That rate of return has never occurred this century. The first 26 years of this century have never seen a rate of return that high. We've seen 29% in a single year. But what's going to compound this even more is that next year, are you likely to recover by hitting 31%? It's unlikely. But will you likely need another $40,000 withdrawal? Probably, because that's what your lifestyle depends on. And now it could get worse even with a positive year in the market, because you're compounding the loss by the fact that you actually do need to live and you want to have the retirement you have been dreaming and planning for. The concept here is that Wall Street will often talk to you about average rates of return all day long because it sounds stable. Retirement is built on anything but averages and average rates of return. That's why we often encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, to prioritize predictability over potential. A respectable, predictable return can be much more valuable to you. And I mean in lifestyle and money to spend, it can be much more valuable to you than potential higher returns or swinging for the fences. Just get on base when you're in your retirement. Prioritize predictability over potential. All right, that's truth number one, is the average return illusion. Truth number two, sequence risk is the real retirement killer. This is going to build on number one a little bit. There is an entire mind shift that is necessary about bad or negative markets when you get close to or enter retirement. During your accumulation years, bad years means, hey, buying opportunities, right? You don't need the money. Cool, we can ride through the volatility, the negative volatility, and we have a great buying opportunity. I agree with that. During retirement, though, or as you get close to retirement, bad markets, negative markets, plus withdrawals equals a damage multiplier. And here's a narrative for you, okay? So let's say that someone retires in the year 2000. Let's go back and pick a bad starting point on purpose. You've got $1 million and you wanted to start withdrawing $50,000 per year, you know, at the turn of the century. Now, what's the raw average return of the S&P 500 since the turn of the century? It's not bad. It's about 7.68%. Okay, so if I had $1 million earning an average of 7.68% and I wanted to take out $50,000 a year, which is only 5%, I should be able to do that, right? I mean, even after taxes and all that, I should be okay. And you would be if you earned that average every single year, like you're putting in your Excel spreadsheet, or even like some advisors do. Well, you make a 6% average, so that means you can do X. But even advisors do make this mistake. Let me roll with that example and play it out. Okay, we're going to go back to the beginning of the century, $1 million, earning an average, 7.68%, taking out $50,000 a year. You know what our ending balance would have been last year? $1.5 million, a little bit more, even after taxes. That's pretty cool, except we're assuming the average return happens every single year rather than the actual year-by-year returns. Now, ladies and gentlemen, follow me. The year-by-year returns, which are much more volatile, do still average 7.68%. But we're going to see a very different story than we did when we have to deal with negative years early on. Because what did we have to deal with, assuming this were our example, rewinding to the beginning of the century? Well, right away, we got hit with the dot-com blow-up, 9/11, and just as we're starting to recover, the 2008 financial crisis. Remember, early drawdowns plus withdrawals equal a much steeper and more difficult recovery. Nothing about what we're talking about here is theoretical. It's math. When running historical simulations starting in every year back to 1960, the outcomes are dramatically different. And that's how far back we've gone. The outcomes are dramatically different depending on the starting year or even the starting month. After all, do you always invest on January 1st of the year like all those historical charts show that you do? Of course you don't. Who does? Still, let's use our example here, all right? So look, we're going to do this again. Rewinding back to the beginning of the century, $1 million starting balance, taking out $50,000 a year. The average is 7.68, but we're going to use actual year-by-year returns this time. How long does the money last, taking out $50,000 a year? Only until 2017, when it would have run out of money completely. Same average return, but the sequence or order that those returns occurred in was the killer. That made the difference in not running out of money and having $1.5 million left over versus definitely running out of money completely 9 years ago. Same average, different order of returns, very different outcome. We are going to come to a potential solution to this problem with something called a retirement buffer analysis that is often part of the Compass Report and can certainly be part of yours. We'd like to give you a copy of the book Hidden Potential as well. When you call in to set up your complimentary visit today with us at the firm, the phone number is 775-899-2243, 775-899-2243. Visit us as well at volatilevet.com, and you can set up your own visit right there. All right, truth number three that Wall Street won't tell you regarding your retirement: the 4% rule is not a promise. So what was the 4% rule? You guys hear this all the time. The idea is that you could withdraw 4% of your starting nest egg balance year one of your retirement and increase that amount every year a little bit by whatever the inflation reading was. Doing this, they said, would allow you to likely not run out of money in retirement. It was based on an academic study in 1994. Yeah, a study, not actual implementation, that had very specific assumptions or presumptions and was not meant to be adapted to individual planning. Hear that again. It was not meant to be adapted to individual planning, and yet it was. It's not a guarantee. It never was. The scope of the study was very limited. Vanguard recently did, somewhat recently did their own study and found that the safe withdrawal rate was actually more like 1.9%. But of course, most people cannot live on just 1.9% per year of whatever their nest egg is, whether or not we're increasing for inflation. Another thing the 4% rule study did not account for were, firstly, advisory fees. Didn't it account for that? And you have them. Whether fund fees, advisory fees, whatever, didn't it account for that? Number two, today's bond yields. They are much lower than they were in the 90s. It did not account for behavioral panic or the fact that humans are involved. It didn't account for collateral damage like Irma penalties or surcharges. Social Security taxation that would lower that Social Security taxation and Irma because of the withdrawals from retirement accounts that lower the net benefits so that more has to be taken. It becomes the cycle. It didn't account for the widow's penalty, a surviving spouse's dilemma of having much higher taxation once their spouse passes away. And finally, it only assumed stocks and bonds. That's it. Rather than many other asset classes that can perform better, especially when considering withdrawal or cash flow strategies in retirement. So the 4% rule had so many limitations, assumptions, and presumptions. And what I found most stark is that it was never meant to be adapted into individual planning. Yet it has become doctrine. And it is far from infallible. Number four. Truth number four, bonds aren't the shock absorber they used to be. Historically, falling rates would mean rising bond prices, right? It's a seesaw relationship. If rates are increasing, existing bond prices are going the opposite way, and vice versa. If bond rates or interest rates are falling, then current bonds or existing bonds would increase in their prices. And that would therefore, because that's what was happening, for nearly two decades we had falling interest rates. That buoyed up the price of bonds and would therefore cushion the drop of equities or stock prices or the stock market crashes. But now, yields start still relatively low, the upside is capped, and the downside is still present when rates do rise. Now let's look at 2022. How well did bonds act as a cushion? And this isn't the only time this has happened. But in 2022, both equities or stocks, the stock market, and bonds were down double digits. Retirees were shocked, but they shouldn't have been. There is too much affinity or too much lining up behind the idea that having some amount in bonds, you know, 60-40, right? Stocks to bonds or 70-30, 80-20, whatever, that bonds are a good shock absorber. They might be, but there are things that are much, much better. And a 60-40 portfolio, for example, right, the vaunted 60-40 that everyone talks about, has a myriad of shortfalls. And we're going to come, and so in fact, we'll come to a bond replacement concept in a few minutes to show how alternate asset classes could and have performed more favorably for you from both an accumulation and an income or distribution perspective. I am very happy that the industry at large and the public are really starting to grasp on to bond replacement or bond alternative kind of concepts because they are simply not, and this is the truth number four we're going through, they are simply not the shock absorbers that Wall Street would like you to believe they are. Truth number five, the IRS is your silent partner in retirement. Recently, we discussed the net equity of your retirement account or how much of your retirement, your IRA, for example, do you actually own? If you had a $1 million IRA and, for example, were in a 22% tax bracket, you don't own all $1 million of it. You have about a $780,000 net equity or economic value because 22% of it belongs to who? The IRS. Now or later, you owe that tax. Now or later. Just because you're not paying it currently doesn't mean it's not there. It is very much like having a lien against your IRA or 401k or whatever pre-tax account we're going to take as an example. The home, having a $1 million home with a $220,000 mortgage, meaning you have $780,000 of net equity, is very apropos as an analogy. Paying taxes on your IRAs and other retirement accounts, paying them strategically and doing conversions strategically, we've talked a lot about that recently, is not going backwards in your net economic value. It's paying off a lien and having a tax-free bill of health for that account from here forward. No longer will you have RMD stacking issues, which is where RMDs suddenly required minimum distributions, it's forced usage. RMD stacking is where the RMDs suddenly push you into higher taxes and cause collateral damage elsewhere, IRMA, Medicare surcharges, Social Security taxation, long-term capital gains that wouldn't otherwise exist, all that kind of stuff. Also, the widow's tax penalty, where a surviving spouse now has to file single instead of married, that is a killer. Talk about salt in the wound. The right tax strategy and the right conversion strategy can help alleviate all of that. So Wall Street loves to show you gross balances on your statement. They don't show you the current or future tax obligations. And of course, they do not mind charging you fees on the IRS's portion of your retirement accounts either. Well, the Compass Report does all of that for you. 775-899-2243, 899-2243. If you'd like to set up your own complimentary visit to get your Compass Report started. Truth number six, the longevity problem that Wall Street minimizes. Longevity risk is bigger than you think. A lot of retirement projections assume a 20-year kind of retirement, age 65 to 85, average life expectancy. They project stable spending, but retirement is anything but stable or a straight line. The reality is that at age 65, if you're 65, couples right now who are 65 have a 50% chance of living past 90, and a very meaningful percentage will see 95 or greater. Retirement isn't just 20 years, it's 25 to 35 years now, which is an entirely the length of an entire career. Markets in that time, think about your career, a 30 or 35 or 40 year career. Think about it. How many different changes did you see? Market cycle, taxes change, healthcare costs rise, healthcare programs completely change. Inflation compounds. See, ladies and gentlemen, longevity magnifies every other risk. And while you want to live as long as possible with health and vitality and vigor and energy, it is simply a mathematical and financial reality. The sequence of return risk, tax risk, inflation risk, healthcare risk, market risk, liquidity risk, all of these things are magnified the longer you live. For example, a $60,000 income, in order to 25 years later buy the same amount of stuff at a simple 3% inflation rate, you would need $125,000 25 years later to have the same buying power as $60,000 today. Most, planning software, things like that, that a lot of advisors use, it might show a probability score. They assume smooth returns. They assume consistent spending. That just isn't reality. It's more like the Elvis smile. It goes up for a little bit, then down, then really up. As far as spending goes, they call it the go-go, slow-go, and no-go years. In your go-go years, the first, 7 to 10 years maybe, but certainly 5 to 7 years of retirement, you're going, going, going. The spending creeps up because you are going, going, going. The slow-go years tend to taper off in spending a bit. You're more at home. You're not doing as many trips, those kind of things, finding pleasure in the simple living of life. And then the no-go years, when the healthcare challenges or the health challenges really start to take over, what tends to happen to that graph or that line on the graph is it shoots up sharply. It's important to simply acknowledge that. Plan for it, so that it can simply be dealt with. Ladies and gentlemen, longevity is a blessing, but financially, it's a multiplier of every other risk. Truth number seven, income is different than growth, where Wall Street will consistently focus on growth, 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 and tell you that total return means income. That's not true. Retirement requires reliable cash flow, not buy, hold, and pray because eventually it'll be okay. No, no, no. Reliable cash flow. Asset sequencing, taking some income from this asset, stopping, take another income leg from this asset for a time, etc. That's asset sequencing. Tax, smart withdrawals, risk layering. Because, look, just selling shares in a down market, for example, we know that compounds the risk of running out of money. It makes the angle that you have to climb to recover much steeper than it would have been otherwise. What you really want to look at here in understanding that income is different than growth and should be approached differently, income layering strategies, buffer strategies, tax management strategies, all of these things help increase the longevity of your money and put the focus on income where it should be, income generation, predictable income, not so much growth rates of return or growth aspects. I will share with you that study after study shows those with predictable, reliable income in retirement, those retirees that have that, live longer, are happier emotionally and physically, and simply enjoy life more. So put the focus on income and recognize that growth and income are very different approaches that require different skill sets when it comes to your retirement planning. Truth number 8, the emotional reality that they do not model. Wall Street and all the great, you know, charts and graphs, and if you had started here in 1926, yada, 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 those things do not account for emotional responses and the fact that we are human. Panic selling, lifestyle cuts, spending guilt, sleepless nights, all of those things are part of the retirement experience, depending on how you're invested and allocated. If we were all robots, sure, all those studies and all those models would make sense, but we're not. We have emotions. We react emotionally, even though we sometimes it just gets the best of us, and we make mistakes sometimes in the financial world. We try like crazy to guard against it. A good advisor can help you. The behavioral coaching is a big part of having a wise retirement planner. Financial plans work beautifully in spreadsheets, guys. Retirement happens in real life. So be sure that your plans are flexible enough to account for the fact, it's a beautiful fact, that we are all human. To that end, we invite you to call in today. Set up a free visit with us at the firm and get your Compass report done. 775-899-2243. All these things we're talking about and more. Your current path where you could be headed with some common sense alterations. 775-899-2243 or volatilevet.com. We're getting into case studies when we come back. Stick around. Let me put it together here for you a little bit. Welcome back to the show. This is the Volatile Vet. Thanks for hanging out with us and spending a part of your weekend with us. I want to put some real numbers here to the retirement buffer analysis and use something called an index strategy analyzer, which is a tool that we have that can go backwards in time and see so many different scenarios. And while past performance is certainly not a guarantee or necessarily indicative of future results, is history instructive? It absolutely is. And the future, while we don't know it, does often rhyme with history. All right, so here we go. Let's take the NASDAQ 100. Let's look at that index. And that became a real index in 1986, ironically, exactly 40 years ago. All right, so let's look at it. This is a very volatile index, the NASDAQ 100. And it has produced a lot of good years and a lot of really, really rough years as well. If we had put, all right, so go with me on the hypothetical. I'm going to prove a point. If we had put $10,000 at the beginning of 1986 into the NASDAQ 100 and did what we're supposed to do, we just let it go for, you know, 40 years, never took any money out, et cetera, just reinvest, whatever. What would it be worth at the end of last year? Now, I'm going to ignore taxes. I know you, but I know. Just let me get the principle across here to you. If we ignore taxes, the growth rate, the compound annual growth rate is about 14.03% over that 40-year period. So $10,000 becomes $1,000,000 $276,000 at the end of last year, so nearly $1.3 million. Now, through that, we had seven down years. Let's see, 2022, negative 33%. 2018, negative 1. 2008, negative 41.89%. Then we had 2000 through 02, negative 38, negative 32, negative 37.5%. All right in a row. 1990 was negative 10.4. So we've had some really good years too. The late 90s were absolutely booming. 1999 was 102%. 2003 was 49%. 2009 was 53%. But you get the story. It's a very volatile index, right? So you had to be a robot. You had to ignore your human emotions. And that could have happened. Could have happened. Now, What if I introduce a buffer strategy to you in this retirement buffer analysis, and we analyzed that, compared it to the market itself, to the NASDAQ 100 in this case? What if we had this kind of buffer? Every other year, any gains that were there would lock in automatically. So every second year, whatever gains are present are locked in. And once locked in, no matter how negative the market might turn, can never be lost. And what if we got 90% of the upward movement of the market? We have some really good years I just went through, right? What if we could get 90% of those upward swings, but none of the downward market movements, none of the negative? Is that a good trade-off? Well, let's see. Remember I said that $10,000 starting in 1986, 40 years ago, at the end of last year, would be just under $1.3 million, all right? If we did this other strategy instead, 90% of the gains locked in every other year, locked in and never, ever going backwards, protected. So if the market were negative, we would just simply earn zero that year and hold on to all our previous gains. All right. What would the ending balance be now? 2.8 million, 2,891,000, nearly 1.9. That is more than a $1.6 million difference. The ending result is more than double what buy, holding, and praying in the market would have worked out to be. That buffer account is real and exists, and it's not 90% of the upward movement. I did that to be more conservative. It's currently 105%. Of the upward movement that you get and lock in every other year. You see what the power of using buffer strategies as part of the overall can possibly be? We're going to stick with this buffer strategy. It's an example. There are dozens and dozens of others that might be better for you. That's not my point. I want you to get the concept of what proper planning can possibly do. Let's look at a different one. And as we're queuing this up, you guys, go ahead and bring that next one up. As we're doing that, I want to remind you, we're doing your Compass report for you for free. We're complimentary. When you call in to set up that free visit with us, there is no cost or obligation for that meeting or the work we do. We want to show you what a Compass report can do for you. Look at all the taxes, the estate planning, the income planning, the risk management. All of those things are taken into account in a Compass report. We'll also give you a copy of Adam Grant's great book called Hidden Potential, because just maybe there's a lot more hidden potential in your situation that you may not know, and a Compass report will help dig that out and bring it into the light of day. 775-899-2243, 775-899-2243, or volatilevet.com. Yes, you can see our calendar and set up your own visit right there at volatilevet.com. Now, here is a bond replacement comparison or analysis, a very quick one. Follow me here as we sketch this out together. Okay, they have it up here for me. So what I want to show you here is, let's go instead this time back to 1995, so about, 30 years ago or so. And let's look at the 60-40 portfolio, because that's what a lot of people tout, 60% equities, 40% bonds. If we had that in $1 million in 1995, so right at the beginning of the bull market, right? We're giving We're starting at a really good period in time, historically. What if we just had $1 million, let's call it, you know, in a brokerage account or whatever the case may be, and we just let it ride? What would its balance be after taxes and everything? We'll assume a 20% effective rate between federal and state, pretty common. What would it be at the end of last year, the balance? About $6,497,000. So can I say 6.5 and just do a little bit of rounding? All right. So 60-40 portfolio, stocks to bonds, $1 million starting in 1995, even after taxes and all that, about $6.5 million. All the ups and the downs, right? Okay, fine. What if we took that 40% that's allocated to bonds and instead did a buffer strategy similar to the one we just went through? Except this year, in this time, instead of the NASDAQ 100, we'll base it on the S&P 500. And this time, it gets 63% of the upward movement, but locks in every single year all the gains instead of every other year. So we get to lock in more frequently and contractually have those gains guaranteed from that time forward. All right, so $1 million, 60% in equities, meaning stocks, you know, or mutual funds or ETFs that buy stocks, things like that. And 40% in this buffer strategy. What would the ending balance be now? Well, with the bonds involved, it was 6.5. With this strategy involved, the ending balance is 10.8 million at the end of last year. There really is no comparison. It's more than a $4 million swing to the positive. So when we talk about bond replacements or bond alternatives and that the industry at large is seeing fixed income in a different light, that's the power of what a bond alternative or bond replacement can potentially do. Again, past performance is no guarantee of future results. We're looking at history as insightful and educational. Let's do this. Let me throw another wrinkle in this. What if we decided we wanted to take out $50,000 a year starting in 1995? Let's say we retired back then. We had our $1 million. We're going to take out 5% or $50,000 a year. Okay, let me plug that in. If we have the 60-40 portfolio for equities and bonds, it makes it, does not run out of money, and the ending balance is $2.2 million at the end of last year, having taken out $50,000 a year since 1995 for a total of $1,550,000 in distributions or withdrawals. All right, you follow me? We started with a million. We took out $1.55 million in withdrawals, and we still have $2.2 million left over. Sounds pretty cool. Okay, not bad. If instead we use the buffer strategy that I mentioned, 63% of the upward movement, none of the downward movement, gains lock in every year. If we use that and 40% of the portfolio and replace the bonds with it, our ending balance now, having taken out $50,000 every single year, is $4.5 million, not $2.2. It is more than double the ending balance if we had used the bonds in the place of, or I'm sorry, it is more than double having used the buffer strategy in place of the bonds. Let me say it properly. This is where fixed income and bond alternative analyses can enlighten and stir good conversation for consideration of what might be profitable and useful for you. 775-899-2243. All of this is part of the Compass Report, the retirement buffer analysis, the bond replacement analysis, which is really a fixed income analysis. 775-899-2243 or volatilevet.com. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, the visit is complimentary. You come in, you make a friend. Whether or not we do anything together, you walk out with your Compass Report that is yours. You can take it and implement it with your by yourself or with whoever you want. Obviously, we hope you do choose to implement it with us, but that's your prerogative. You walk out with that valuable analysis that you can take action on. 775-899-2243. Okay, now here's another interesting question. Let's look at the 60-40 portfolio stock bonds, and we'll look at the 60-40 stock and buffer strategy as a bond replacement. I did a generic example of taking out $50,000 a year and looking at the ending balance, right? And the stock buffer, a new 60-40 stock buffer model, handily won. Here's a different question. How much income, what's the maximum amount of income that we could have taken in that historical scenario from each side, the stock bond model and the stock buffer model? From the stock bond or equity bond model, 60-40, we could have taken $76,260 from 1995 through the end of last year and had a dollar left. All right. For a total, let's see, that would be a total. Guys, you want to give me that real quick? Total withdrawals would have been $2.3 million. Okay, fine. If we had instead replaced the bonds with this buffer strategy, the 63% of the upward movement of the market, none of the downside, yada, 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 done that one instead, we could have taken $126,000 a year and had $1 left over at the end of last year. So that is a roughly 67% more income production ability by using the bond replacement. See, this is something we talk about here on the show quite a bit. What is the income production ability? And we look at that on a net basis, net after tax, because tax efficiency is so much a big part of what we do at the firm. Because taxes are, of course, the largest fee that you will face in all likelihood in retirement. So, of course, there's a big focus on it. But income production ability is this term. We call it IPA. What strategy? Strategy A or strategy B or strategy C? Which one has the highest IPA? We often think of that as the bottom line between multiple strategies that we might be considering together. And whether or not you use the entire income production ability is not the point. It is a way to judge which strategies you are considering might be better, might be superior than another, which one might be the best overall. There's many different lenses you can look at it, but we suggest that the bottom line is the bottom line. Net income production ability. Which one has the greatest potential for predictable, consistent income production? And whether or not you choose to use it is up to you. 775-899-2243. So the equity bond model, the 60-40 model, 2.3 million total distributions if we max it out 1995 through the end of last year. The equity buffer model, 60-40, using that buffer strategy instead of the bonds, would have provided a total income or total withdrawals over that time of $3.9 million versus $2.3. Guys, these are not small differences. They don't happen on accident or by default. They happen because of wise and purposeful planning. Now, take what I'm saying and put it into a tax-free environment. Assume we do it in a tax-free environment, like Roths, life insurance retirement plans, tactically managed brokerage accounts. Retirement seems a whole lot less stressful, doesn't it? Potentially. And a whole lot more predictable. 775-899-2243. Call in, set up your free visit. Let's get your Compass Report started and done. 775-899-2243 or volatilevet.com. So let's see. We've done the Index Strategy Analyzer. We've done the Bond Replacement Analysis. Oh, the Retirement Buffer Analysis. That's right. I promised we would come back to that from the first half of the show. We looked at this scenario. If we had $1 million at the beginning of the century, the average return of the S&P 500 is about 7.68%, just the raw basis. And if we wanted to take out $50,000 a year and we're making 7.68%, just again, the average since the turn of the century, we would be just fine if that was as deep as the analysis went. And we showed how that's far too shallow. And when we turn on using the actual year-by-year returns of the S&P 500 instead, the raw returns, we find that the $1 million would have run out in 2017. trying to give us $50,000 a year. And the point here was that it highlights the devastating effect of sequence of return risk in retirement. All right, so let's fix that scenario. First, if we had that million-dollar portfolio at the turn of the century, and let's say we didn't take any distributions out of it, what would it have grown to at the end of last year, just using the raw returns of the market? The answer is about $3.5 million. Okay, great. That's just, you know, leaving straight equities, ups and downs, all that, living through it, riding right through it on an accumulation basis. What if now we had allocated 50% toward the buffer account that we've been talking about? So we've got 50% still in the market because that's valid and it has a place. Absolutely. And we got 50% in the buffer account that is now eliminated, recovery years, down years on 50% of the money. Okay, very good. Now, what would the balance have been in the end of last year? $4.9 million. That is a $1.4 million difference than equities all on its own, alone, out in the cold. Happily married, a good equity portfolio plus a good buffer portfolio can make a massive difference potentially. Okay, well, what about the income now? Remember, if we turned on the income and tried to take out $50,000 a year, letting the market account be on its own, it died in 2017. In fact, when we run 10,000 random simulations on that, on the market alone trying to hit that income goal, we find it succeeds only about 44% of the time. Boy, that is a failing score no matter how you slice it. When we use the buffer account in tandem, doing a 50-50 mix, not only does the are we able to take out the $50,000 a year, we have not run out of money last year, we still have several hundred thousand dollars left over, our probability of success as we run 10,000 random simulations grows to about 71%. Now that's on a 50-50 mix, equities to the buffer account. What if? See, this is just a different approach, a different way of thinking about it. What if we did a 40-60, 40 equity, 60 in the buffer to take away market risk from 60% of the portfolio? Well, now we end with not a couple hundred thousand, but 400,000, and our probability of success jumps to 81%. In fact, if we looked at total value, let me talk about this terminology with you. Total value means the total lifetime income plus any ending balance. You add those two things together, you get total value. All right. Well, the market account on its own, that just going with using the index itself, the S&P 500 alone, started with $1 million, lasted till 2017. We actually only got out of the account $899,000. That's all. Even though we started with $1 million, is a very poor order of returns or sequence of returns that occurred, which is the point. We don't know what the order of returns will be. It's important to protect against that the reality that you could, as you lead up to retirement and just go into retirement, that retirement red zone, if it's a really poor retirement red zone for you, the chance of you running out of money is multiplied versus having a good red zone experience. Even if the returns are bad, but you have a good buffer strategy in place to complement it, well, then you've handled it, haven't you? As we're demonstrating here. All right, so total value. The total value of the market account on its own was $899,000. The total value, when we allocate 60% to the buffer strategy and leave 40% in the market, is $1.7 million, $1,711,521. Quite the difference. And it is an $800,000, more than $800,000 differential. It is roughly 80% more. Now, let me drive this point home with you. It's the same starting balance in both cases. It's $1 million starting at the beginning of the century. But it's a different allocation. It's recognizing that sequence of return risk is real and devastates portfolios. It's recognizing that the retirement red zone, that 4 or 5 years before and 4 or 5 years after retirement, is so critical. You have to protect the ball. You cannot fumble on the 2-yard line. Can't do it. The consequences can be devastating. So it's recognizing that. And further, if we do all this great work on the allocation, the location, remember we talked about that last week, location, 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 where your assets and accounts live may be much more important than the actual pie chart of what you have. Do you want your assets to be taxable, tax deferred, and therefore become taxable, or tax free? It is important to determine what category or column, we call them the tax columns, right? Which one you want the majority of your assets to live in. There is a balance for everyone. It's not all one or all or none of all, none of one of them. There is a balance between taxable, tax deferred, and tax free. That balance is incredibly important to figure out. A Compass report does indeed help with that. And imagine that everything we're talking about, what if it were done in a tax-free environment? How much better are the results then? 775-899-2243. 899-2243 here locally, or volatilevet.com. All right, so that's the retirement buffer analysis. It shows that on an accumulation basis, you are likely much better served with a buffer account in the allocation, so reallocating to some of that. It also shows that your income production ability, if you choose to use the income production from the portfolio, is also dramatically increased. We've also done the index strategy analyzer, looking at that. We've done the bond replacement analysis. Is any of this right or wrong for you? Some other flavor of it? Possibly. We don't know. That's why we get together. That's why we visit and explore what is right for you. I can absolutely assert this. We follow what the math says. We don't care what the answer is as long as it is mathematically supported. I would hope that's what you want from the people who are walking that retirement path with you, which we have done hundreds and hundreds of times for people. We are passionate about this. If you can't tell, we really do love this stuff. So get together with us. Let's figure things out together. Let's enhance your retirement potentially. Let's take away some of the risk if we can. Let's make your predictability better. Because all of that, what's the point? The point of all of this is so that you can just have more fun, less stress, and the golden years shine a little bit brighter. 775-899-2243. I hope you have taken quite a bit out of this show today, the 8 truths that Wall Street will not tell you about your retirement. In review, truth number 1 was about the average return illusion, the fact that average returns mean nothing to you when you get into retirement. It's all about the consistency of your returns. Truth number 2, which is related, sequence risk is the real retirement killer. Whereas bad markets, while you're accumulating money, negative markets are a buying opportunity. During retirement, bad markets, especially with withdrawals happening, is a damage multiplier. Truth number 3, the 4% rule is not a promise, and it was never intended to be applied to actual practice. Truth number 4, bonds aren't the shock absorber they used to be. It used to be that if I had a 50-50 or 60-40, 80-20, some kind of portfolio where I have some bonds in the mix, if the equities go down or the stock market goes down, I'm buoyed up by the bonds. Well, things are a lot different in today's environment than they used to be, and we just have to look at 2022 to see where both the stock markets and the bond markets were both negative at the same time, leaving retirees just shaking their head, scratching their head, because it's not like your expenses and lifestyle go on pause just because your account might be down. So that led into a whole discussion about bond alternatives. Truth number 5, the IRS is your silent partner. They own a chunk of your assets, of your qualified accounts especially. Went through a lot about that. Truth number 7, that income is different than growth. The strategies required to produce predictable income during your retirement so you can go and do the things that you've been dreaming of are much different than the strategies you used to grow or accumulate your wealth. And finally, truth number 8, emotional reality is never modeled into retirement planning, but should be. We are human. We are ruled by emotions, and plans should understand that instead of asking us to be robots about life. We would like to do your Compass Report complimentary and give you a copy of Adam Grant's best-selling book called Hidden Potential. There might be a lot of that lurking in your situation that we can help bring out. We do it complimentary, 775-899-2243, 899-2243, or volatilevet.com. Thanks for being with us.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed representative.